This is File 90. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Chisholm Chandler, who is the headmaster of Salisbury School in Salisbury, Connecticut. Today's date is January 26th, and here we go. What is your name?
Chisholm Chandler.
And what is your birth date?
I was born on June 8th, 1966, at Sharon Hospital.
Perfect. Your parents' names?
My dad is John Russ Chandler, but he goes by Rusty. Mm-hmm. And my mother is Mimi Estes, who lives also in Salisbury.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two sisters. My older sister is Lisa, and my younger sister is Robin. And Robin is the athletic director at Hotchkiss School.
Ah.
The girls' athletic director.
What was your educational background? Starting with Salisbury Central School.
Yeah. I started at Little Scholar Nursery mm-hmm. School.
Oh, good.
With Gene Wardell.
Yeah.
And then I was at Salisbury Central for kindergarten and first grade. And then I moved to Town Hill School through the fourth grade, and then to Indian Mountain School from fifth through ninth grade, Hotchkiss School, Brown University, and I got my graduate degree in education from Harvard University.
At what year?
I graduated from Harvard in 2002. Graduated from Brown in 89 and from Hotchkiss in 1985.
And what has been your career path?
I've been at Salisbury School for, this is my 24th year. I arrived in the fall of 91. I worked in admissions for many years. I ran the college office for a number of years. I was the director of admission for a number of years. Then the assistant headmaster and finally was appointed headmaster in the fall of 2003.
Now, the headmasters originally were clergy. When
it's
did
true.
That change and why? Do you know?
I do, and I know both questions. Salisbury was founded by an Episcopal headmaster, the Reverend George Quayle, and we still maintain a very strong tie to the Episcopal Church. His son, Emerson, succeeded him. Emerson was not a minister. He was only head for 7 years. He went down to New York. He was only 42 years old. He went down to New York to have surgery on a tennis elbow injury, and he got tainted anesthesia and died on the operating table.
Oh, gosh.
Very young. George Langdon was the next headmaster. He was an Episcopal minister. Ed Ward followed George Langdon in 1965.
I remember him.
He was an Episcopal headmaster. Peter Sippel followed Ed Ward in the early 80s. And then the first lay headmaster was Dick Flood, my predecessor. And he was appointed in 1988. And I followed Dick in 2003. The reason, and I don't know whether this is a good or bad thing, the reason that Salisbury, like many schools, got away from having clergy as their headmasters is that the whole idea of running a school as a business became more and more clear and important. I knew Peter Sippel very well as a young man. He and my dad actually grew up together in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ah.
I knew Ed Ward very well because Ed Ward's son, Michael, was a classmate of mine at Indian Mountain. And they were great
men. Both were wonderful men.
And
yes.
Great teachers. Mm-hmm. But as the job of the headmaster in the independent school world changed from being the head teacher to more of a...
Head administrator,
kind of chief executive officer, CEO of a company. Teaching skills became less important, and kind of financial management skills became more important. So, thinking about Episcopal ministers, they're more teachers than they are running financial, management, institutions. And so I think more than anything else, the job of the headmaster today is fundraising and hiring and, doing admissions work and kind of overall management of the institution.
Which is different from a teacher.
From 25 or 30 years ago. Now, the truth is that I think the best headmasters still maintain a very strong contact with kids, still speak in chapel as often as they can, still think first about creating a great school culture and evaluating teachers and working closely with students. And then it becomes a balance of that part plus...
Which it should be. What is your present enrollment of students?
308. And of that 308, 292 are boarding students. And
so the storm is not going to affect that much?
Not really. And actually, of the 16 or 17 day students, 9 of them, I think, are faculty children that live on campus. So
faculty
sons. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And how many faculty?
There's 62 faculty, full-time faculty.
And part-time, peripheral faculty?
Part-time, I think we have about 8 or 9 part-time faculty who actually do a great job and who are in different stages of their growth. A couple of our arts teachers, for instance, Erica Crowfoot, who's actually chairman of our art department, is part-time because she's also an artist.
Yes.
And she needs time to
do
her own art.
That came out when I was doing Roger McKee.
Exactly.
So, it all works together.
Lisa Shebley, who's a longtime resident of this area.
How do you spell Shebley?
S-H-E-B-L-E. Teaches philosophy and religion, but as well as photography. But she's also a fabulous photographer. And so, for us to bring in people with wonderful skills in the arts who still maintain a life outside the school is really smart because those skills are hard to come by. Students need to be exposed to photography and art, and to have real artists also teach them is great.
As many exposures to the outside world as possible.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I asked this before, and I loved your answer. Is there a place for a boys' school in today's environment?
Unquestionably. I mean, and every day I think the testimonies get more vivid and stronger. And some of it comes through just the practice as educators we see in boys. But more of today is driven by the data that is collected and the science of being able to look into an adolescent female's brain and an adolescent boy's brain and see how different they are. I mean, we couldn't do that 20 years ago. Technology today has really allowed us to do that. So most of, if we were talking 20 years ago, it was all anecdotal. If you were a teacher, you'd say, well, I see this in my female students and I see this in my male students. Mm-hmm. Today, we know from
studies and diagnostics
that the adolescent male brain is 2 or 3 years behind the adolescent female brain in early adolescence when they're 12, 13, 14, 15. And then the boys kind of speed up at the end of adolescence.
They do.
But even, the studies have now shown that the prefrontal cortex, which is all the decision-making and concentration and focus, really isn't totally formed until the boys are 23, 24, 25 years old. So the girls are a little bit farther ahead.
But the boys catch up.
The reason that I think a boys' school for many boys is so important, and you were a teacher, so you've seen this. If we were over at Hotchkiss School or Berkshire School, and we walked over to the classrooms, you'd see the girls in the front
and the boys in the back.
Yep. The girls are raising their hands. The girls are engaging the teachers in great conversations.
Yep.
and the boys are kind of shying away, hoping not to look silly and praying that they're not going to get called on.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Then they get into the 11th and 12th grade. Their self-confidence has grown. Their executive functioning is infinitely better. They don't fear being involved in conversations or being asked questions. And it's different. But so that's why, is there a place for boys' school? Absolutely.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Now, you have a couple of specific areas of focus with your students. Talk a little bit about character development and the code of a gentleman.
Yeah. Years and years before I got to Salisbury, our headmasters and faculty members were really focused on this concept of the Salisbury gentleman. And I'm glad they were, because I think it's something that's really carried over to today. And from my standpoint, I think the world is getting a little bit away from many of those traditional skills that fathers and grandfathers taught boys growing up. A firm handshake, a look you in the eye, opening doors for men, anybody. Women, children, anybody.
Yeah.
Being a good neighbor, being a good son, being helpful in a community, being a good work colleague, being a great classmate and a great friend. I mean, I think our culture today is so focused on ourselves. And, you know, what's in it for me, and what can I achieve in this world? And less about how can I make an impact on the world, and how can I make the world a better place? And so we talk every day about being a gentleman and what that means. Being a good son, being a good sibling, being someone who's going to go into their community and really make a difference, who's going to volunteer. One of the things I love about living in the Salisbury area is we have so many opportunities to give back with local not-for-profits.
And you take advantage of them.
And we take advantage of them. But whether it's the volunteer fire department or the ambulance or women's support services or family services or low-income housing, I think this is an area that where the school really tries to make an impact. And that goes hand-in-hand with the other piece that you talked about, which is, we really stress kind of building a man's character, a boy's character, while they're here, so that they can indeed go out in the world and not just focus on what the world has for them, but what they have for the world.
And how they can give back.
How they can support their neighbors and their communities, and how they can change positively, make a positive impact on those around them.
Which are skills that do need to be taught if they're not automatically taught at home. They need to have a role model, and they need to be shown that this is the way a gentleman behaves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important.
Well, and, as anybody that's watching the news today or listening to any kind of political discourse, we hear, income inequality, not only in the United States, but in the world. And so I believe, generally the kids that are coming to an independent boarding school like Salisbury and have just incredible opportunities, educational opportunities, but they have warm beds and all the food they can eat. And, I mean, this is a pretty pretty nice deal.
It is.
And so,
and it's a beautiful location as
and
well.
And it's a beautiful location and a safe part of the world. And and what I say to the boys often in chapel is that great quote, to whom much is given, much is expected, or much is required. And that's what we try and reinforce with our students, is that they have been given the best education and the best of opportunities. And because they have, it's incumbent upon them to understand that and then to reach out and help others and use the gifts they've been given to help others.
Which is basic golden rule.
The golden rule.
When you're looking for a student, what abilities or academic achievement are you looking for a student to come here? What are your requirements?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there are several layers of that. But when I was the director of admission, more than anything else, I would try and figure out with each individual candidate whether they would, if given the opportunity, whether they would take advantage of the opportunities that we have. We like active learners. You know, all of the metrics are important, whether, you know, it's your grades in your school before you came to Salisbury, or your test scores, and your recommendations mean a lot, because I think that we want to teach kids that are focused and fun and curious and inquisitive, and so those teacher recommendations that we get mean a lot to us. But more than anything else, we look for well-rounded kids. You know, we look, and now our search is really all over the world. I mean, we've got kids from almost every continent other than Antarctica. Yeah, someday maybe. But, I mean, kids from Africa and Asia and Europe and, you know, we got some Russian students recently. And
oh, good.
Kids from South America and a number of Canadian students. And so really it's a very...
It's a very
global enrollment, which makes the learning experience even more interesting.
And it's good for tolerance of other cultures.
Oh, I think the boys in just sharing their ideas, whether you're from one part of the world or another, is a huge part of what makes going to Salisbury an interesting experience.
Now, I didn't ask you before, but I'm asking you now.
Sure.
How about scholarships? Do you have scholarships?
Oh, we do. Scholarship is we don't really use that term anymore.
Okay.
We do in that there are named scholarships here. So if you're a donor and you want to support a middle-class family that can't afford the tuition, you know, there may be the Foster McMillan family scholarship. But all of it is called financial aid. And 33% of the families of the boys that attend Salisbury get some sort of financial assistance.
Do you income. Have anything specific for local students, or is it just in general?
It's just in general. This isn't... As you know, there's not a lot of industry in this area, and you know, it's a lot of really, really nice, wonderful, middle-class, upper-middle-class families, but who can't afford a $40,000 day tuition? So the vast majority of our day students receive financial assistance, and we're happy to do that, because we really want to support the local area.
Because it doesn't... It makes it even more well-rounded to have kids that don't necessarily have the posh background to be able to come to a posh school and learn. And it's connections.
Totally. And you know, so we were just talking about geographic diversity. Every bit as important is socioeconomic diversity.
Absolutely.
You know, and so kids that from different economic backgrounds have different views on the world and can add to different discussions in history or science or English or math.
Oh, yeah. And it's very important to have the diversity, because it broadens their outlook on life, too.
Absolutely.
What is the Crosby Medal?
The Crosby Medal is an award that is given at graduation each year to the senior, the sixth form student, who has shown the most leadership and loyalty to the school, and that is voted on by the upper two grades. So it's peer. It's not faculty driven. It is the kids getting together and saying, this particular boy was in our minds the best leader and the most loyal kid. And generally, it's a senior who has reached a number of kids to help, whether it's tutoring them in a particular discipline, or he's been the leader in their dormitory and have helped them in a time when they've been upset about something, or So it identifies all the characteristics that we seek to achieve in boys. That someone who's caring, someone who's loyal, someone who's reaching out to other people to make their lives better.
And it's interesting that you have it from a student's perspective rather than a faculty perspective, because the students see themselves differently than the faculty do.
Very much.
And so this is really where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah, and I know that there are some students who, faculty are around, they act in one way, and if faculty aren't around, they act in another.
Oh, sure.
And so the Crosby Medal winner is almost the boy that's doing the right thing when no one's looking.
Oh, that's important.
True character.
Absolutely. You have a school motto in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
What is its meaning?
Esse quam videri.
I know that.
Is the motto. And it means to be rather than to seem to be. Which I think is a great motto for kids. I mean, in today's colloquial terms, it's be real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Be the real thing.
Yeah, the real deal.
Don't put on airs. Be the real thing.
You're going to be found out somehow if you're faking it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the things when I was teaching. You can't pull the wool over kids' eyes. They know. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to be right up front, and that's how you earn respect from your peers.
The kids talk today about being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
In a boys' school, in a small school, you really get to know these kids in a very unique and honest way. And we have kids from, as I said, all types of kids. If you're authentic, you're universally respected. In other words, you can be completely different than other kids, but if you're comfortable with who you are and project this image of confidence and but humble as well.
Oh yeah.
Then the kids, it's incredible. You see how other kids feel about particular kids.
And that's a great, great asset.
So being authentic is really important.
Yes, it is.
Being comfortable with who you are. And I think it's amazing to watch the respect that kids have for each other. Again, completely different. They're from different parts of the world. They're into different sports and different. They like to study different things. But if you're authentic,
it shows.
You're real.
Yeah.
So that's why the Esse quam videri is such a good motto for us.
Have there been many changes to Salisbury School over the years, the 24 years that you've been here? And I'm not talking physical changes. I'm talking about philosophy or type of student or...
I'm glad you clarified that, because I would say that Salisbury School is... very much the same place that it's been
good
for many, many years.
Good. It's stable.
A father said to me recently that Salisbury is a modern school with 1950 values.
Oh, what a wonderful statement.
And I agree with you, and I always remember that. And so I guess, we've built all these fabulous new academic buildings and a new dormitory and new athletic center and... But the culture has remained remarkably the same. And the kind of the core values that any school is built upon, for us, those core values have remained remarkably the same.
Good. And they make it a better world.
I think so. I think there's a great line in the school prayer that's written, either we adopted it or it's written for us, and it says... keep the school's leaders alert to the voice of thy spirit, to let them cling to values that have served us well in the past, but also be open to new ideas that can make the future brighter. I paraphrase that, but basically that's what it says. And so what I think about all the time is that important ideas that have served us well in the past, mm-hmm. we need to stay true to those.
If they
were good for a reason.
And they've survived the test of time.
And they have.
Which is important.
Now there are some things that need to change, and we offer different languages, but the core, the basic core values, we've already talked about being a Salisbury gentleman and really focusing on molding a boy's character. That is something that I hope is here 20, 50, 100 years from now.
Do you have future plans for the school as far as direction or academics or anything that you personally would like to see?
Yeah. Schools are, curriculums are constantly changing and new history, new subjects in history, and we're implementing a new writing program right now that I'm excited about. We have a wonderful entrepreneurial studies program that is, 2 or 3 years old and really allows kids to kind of study, kids that think they might want to go into business after school. They can run little businesses on campus, which is kind of neat. So curricularly, we have a burgeoning robotics program. Boys love to build things.
Oh,
so
sure.
A robotics program.
Well, they're very hands-on.
Mechanical engineering, that kind of thing is very interesting to our boys right now. I'd like to build our theater program a little bit stronger. I think that it's sometimes hard, in an all-boys school, because, of course, most productions have girls in it, too, so we have to
import the girls.
We have to search far and wide to get female actors and actresses. But there are a couple of facilities that I'd like to add to the campus at some point. We need some indoor tennis and stuff like that. But I feel like we are in a really good place right now. And just stewarding that direction, keeping the train running on the tracks, as they say, continuing to attract great kids and great faculty members is really my primary focus.
Okay. Before we close, is there anything that you'd like to add that I haven't covered?
I think we've covered a lot.
Yes, we have covered a lot.
The only thing I think I'd like to add is that Salisbury School has always been known as the town's school. We love it when people from the town come up to watch games or celebrate the Christmas holidays with us. And we really try and reach out and make an impact on the town. One of the things I do every morning is I go downtown and get a cup of coffee at Sweet Williams. And I do that for not... I mean, we have a coffee machine in our dining room. But
you
do it to see the people of the town and to make connections and to promote the school within the town. Not that we need more students from the town, but we love having our students from that. But more to engage the school... in the goings-on of the town. I never want to be a school that is up on this hilltop kind of overlooking Salisbury and not kind of... And just focused on within rather than focused on reaching out. And, for instance, next weekend our students will help pack the snow on the ski jump and participate in all the activities in the town. And the town's relationship with the school's relationship with the town is really important. And I talk about this all the time with Curtis Rand, who happens to be not only the first selectman, but on our teaching faculty, teaches forestry here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the close connection that we have with the town of Salisbury.
And it shows.
I think it's really healthy.
Thank you so much for your time.
I've enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
Good. That was fun. Gene, that was